This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott.
So what do we got here?
Not much so far. Severely charred body. Local PD says no one witnessed anything.
So far I found blowflies. No eggs or larvae, so I can't determine time of death.
Based on the nasal root and the brow ridge, the victim is a Caucasian male. Don't step in the brain, Booth.
Brain? Oh, what?
That was a clip from the hit TV show Bones, which debuted in 2005 on Fox and has helped popularize the science behind forensic anthropology for a generation of TV watchers. While the flashy technology and grisly scenes uncovered on the show may be fictional, a good portion of the underlying science is real. So how do real-life forensics teams learn how to identify bodies and estimate times of death? And who pioneered such morbid techniques? Renee Ebersole is features editor at Audubon Magazine and a contributor to Mental Floss, where she wrote about the Body Farm. It's one of four such facilities in the country where forensic anthropologists and police investigators learn firsthand how to read a body. Renee, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
The Body Farm is just a nickname. The site is part of the University of Tennessee's Forensic Anthropology Center. Generally speaking, what kinds of things go on there?
Well, primarily they've looked at the science of decomposition, and they're really a pioneer in that science. Since the 1980s, they've been looking basically at everything that goes into decomposition, and they are responsible for some of the techniques that help pinpoint time of death in every case around the world.
So what are some of the ways in which they stage decomps to be studied?
Well, it's a 3-acre facility, a woodland facility, and they take donated cadavers and they position them in the way that you might find them in a crime scene.
So shallow graves, maybe in the trunk of a car, that kind of thing?
Exactly. Anything that you might find that a forensic scientist might encounter in the field.
So estimating the time of death, I guess that's an essential part, as I understand it, of the forensic field.
It really is. I mean, if you've watched Bones or CSI or Law and Order or any of those TV shows that often open with a dead body, you know, it's the same thing. TV speeds it up dramatically. But really, what they're looking for initially is that time of death that helps investigators build a timeline. And without the time of death, you know, they would really be groping for where to start.
I was reading this and thinking, gosh, how do they start in a facility like this? And you answer that question in your article. Give us a little bit of an origin story. Can you run through that for us?
Sure. It goes back to a man named Bill Bass, who studied... Well, he was at the University of Tennessee when I'm working with the medical examiner's office when police were coming to him and saying, you know, we have this body. Can you tell us when this person died? And he really had no scientific basis for that. He looked into the academic literature and he couldn't find anything to be able to accurately give them information. So he decided that he needed to study it. And he went to the dean at the University of Tennessee and said, I need some land to put some bodies on. And the dean, you'd think that maybe the dean would laugh him out of the office, but the dean actually said, you know, head over to the agricultural campus and talk to them. And it turned out that there was a piece of land back behind the medical center that hadn't been used. It was weedy and a woodland, and they decided that that would be a good place for him to start doing his work.
Wow. Who studies there?
The students from the anthropology program there, the forensic anthropology program there, and then they have crime scene investigators come as well. The FBI comes and trains there, and basically they come in and look at a potential crime scene. They look at a body that's decomposing, and they work it as if they would a crime scene. And I think recently the FBI is doing some work with facial recognition.
How do they get the cadavers?
People donate them.
Specifically? I mean, I would think that maybe you think you're donating your body to science. You know, it might be to study the vascular system, not necessarily have your body thrown in the trunk of a car to see how it weathers in the summer.
Yeah, they donate specifically to the facility. If you go to their website, there's a couple pages there about how you can donate. They have about 100 people who donate their bodies every year. They currently have 1,000 people at the facility. I'm sure that they're not all on the ground. almost 3,000 people have signed up. They've pre-registered to have their bodies donated to the body farm.
What sorts of techniques has this site and others like it helped forensic scientists, law enforcement to understand over the years?
Well, the time of death is really important. With they use insects. That's one of the keys to determining time of death. They found that basically you can track time of death by looking at the life cycle of a fly. So when the flies are drawn to a dead body, they begin their very predictable life cycle. And when you factor in the conditions for weather and sunlight and temperature, once you look at those variables, you can go back and figure out what happened. The other things that they're doing more recently is they're looking at laser technology called LIDAR, and this is really cutting-edge technology. They're using the technology to figure out how a landscape changes as a body decomposes.
Mm-hmm.
So the problem with the current technology that researchers are trying to use, satellite technology, do not penetrate the canopy. You really can't see what's going on below the forest canopy. So you could have grave sites down there that you've absolutely no idea exist. And LIDAR technology can penetrate the canopy and pick up very subtle changes in the landscape. And that's how their hypothesis that they'll be able to use this technology to figure out if there's a mass grave site there.
Uh-huh. So if you're looking in a conflict zone, Yugoslavia or something like that, and looking for mass graves, LIDAR technology would actually help you, be able to identify different plants grow there? What kind of changes are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. So there are a lot of conflict areas where genocide has happened. Yugoslavia, Argentina, Uganda, Guatemala. If this is effective, they'll be able to look down at the forest and detect differences in the vegetation. So when a body decomposes, the nutrients in the soil become very rich so that plant life can come in there, particularly the weedy plant life comes in first and grows up. You can tell that there's a change in the composition of the foliage on the forest floor. And then they're adding to that, they're looking at thermal technology where you would be able to, the hypothesis is that you would be able to see the heat coming, radiating out from an area where there's a grave site.
Wow, fascinating stuff. Renee Ebersol, features editor at Audubon Magazine. She wrote Welcome to the Body Farm. It's about the facility that's part of the University of Tennessee's Forensic Anthropology Center. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
You can read Renee's article in the latest issue of Mental Floss.